कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाल गिरी मन दरे All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru Gaurananda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 4th chapter, verse number 11. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Vedahamantar Manasipsitante Dadami Yattad Durvava Pumanyai Satri Purva Vishva Shrijam Vashunam Matsidhi Kamena Vasutayeshta Vedaham Vedahamantar Manashiptitamte Dadami yattad duravapamanyai Satri pura vishva shrijam vasunam
Satri pura vishva
matsidhi kamhena vaso tvayeshtva vedahamantar manashipshitam te dadame yatad duravapumanyai satre purva vishvashijam vasunam matsidhi kamena vaso tvayeshta. Please chant. Vedahamantar manasipitam te Sri Bhagavan Vacha. The personality of Godhead said, Veda, no, aham, I, anta, within, manasi, the mind, ipsitam, what you desired, te, your, dadami, I give you, yet, which is tat, that, duravapam, very difficult to achieve, anyai, by others, satre, in the sacrifice, pura, in the days of yore, vishvashrijam, of those who expanded this creation, Vasunam, of the Vasus, Matsiddhikamena, with the desire to achieve my association. Vasu, O Vasu, Kvaya, by you, Ishta, ultimate goal of life. Translation. O Vasu, I know from within your mind what you desired in the days of yore, when the Vasus and other demigods responsible for expanding the universal affairs performed sacrifices. You particularly desired to achieve my association. This is very difficult for others to obtain, but I award it unto you. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Uddhava is one of the eternal associates of the Lord, and a plenary portion of Uddhava was one of the eight Vasus in the days of yore. The eight Vasus and the demigods in the upper planetary system who were responsible for the management of the universal affairs performed a sacrifice in the days of yore, desiring to fulfill their respective ultimate goals in life. At that time, an expansion of Uddhava, acting as one of the Vasus, desired to become an associate of the Lord. The Lord knew this because He is present in the heart of every living entity as Paramatma, the super consciousness. In everyone's heart, there is the representation of the super consciousness, who gives memory to the particular consciousness of every living entity. The living entity, as partial consciousness, forgets incidents of his past life. But the superconsciousness reminds him how to act in terms of his past cultivation of knowledge. Bhagavad Gita confirms this fact in various ways. Yaya tamam prapajyante tam sutava bhujam yaham, 4th chapter, 11th verse, Sarvasya chaham hridishana vishto matasmati jnanam apohanam cha, 15th chapter, 15th verse. Everyone is at liberty to desire as he likes, but the desire is fulfilled by the Supreme Lord. Everyone is independent to think or desire, but the fulfillment of one's desire depends on the Supreme Will. This law is expressed as man proposes and God disposes. Excuse me. In the days of yore, when the demigods and the Vasus performed sacrifices, Uddhava, as one of the Vasus, desired to enter into the association of the Lord, which is very difficult for those busy in empirical, philosophical, speculative, or fruitive activities. Such persons have practically no information of the facts about becoming an associate of the Lord. Only the pure devotees can know by the mercy of the Lord that the personal association of the Lord is the highest perfection of life. The Lord assured Uddhava that he would fulfill his desire. It appears that when the Lord informed him by his indication to Uddhava, the great sage Maitreya finally became aware of the importance of entering into the association of the Lord. Om Jnana Tamidam Dasyad Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yunatasmai Sri Guru Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pandum Lam Jayate Gurim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Namaha Avancha Kalpaturi Vishya Kripa Sundu Vaheva Cha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavibhu Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Sri Gavadha Sri Vasari Gaura Akhtabinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss, because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Really a very significant verse and very powerful purport here today. Two very particular points came to mind. The first, depending on your consciousness, could be a little frightful. The Lord knows what's in our mind. This is both reassuring and a little scary. The reality is that because the Lord's situated within our heart, He's fully aware of what our desires are. As indicated here, He understood that Uddhava, in this expansion of Vasu, wanted His association. So the Lord is tuned into what we're doing, even when we're not tuned into what we should be doing for Him. And what is the side point of that is that that association that Uddhava desired is very hard to achieve. So the Lord knows what's in our heart, even if it's something that's difficult to achieve. But if we have received His mercy, if we have kept ourselves in the path of devotional practices, then it can be easily awarded. This is the point made here, that it's very difficult for others to get this, but you, here directly in this verse, Uddhava, but you meaning us, those practicing the process of devotional service, can easily get the association of the Lord. I mean, the opportunity to be in this Sangha with all so many Vaishnavas, the opportunity to come and see the beautiful deities here in the temple, the opportunity to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, the opportunity to chant the holy name, these are things we take for granted. The opportunity to follow a codicil, which is today, which some of us may embrace and some of us may grudgingly embrace. This opportunity is there for us, and we take it very easily, very commonly, because it's what we've been doing, it's what we do. But for those who are not on the path of devotional service, these things are very difficult to obtain. It's very difficult for such personalities that do not embrace the devotional principles to be able to understand what's going on here. I had a doctor's appointment yesterday, and the nurse's aide there indicated, you don't look as old as you are. I said, well, you know, I've been a vegetarian since I was 17. I do different forms of yoga. She said, oh, yoga, I'm interested in that. Vegetarianism, not so interested. The fundamental principle of being able to soften the heart, not killing other living entities, not so interested in that. Maybe external things like yoga, they can extrapolate for whatever material motive they have. What is it it says here? That those who are, that entering into the association of the Lord is difficult for those who are empiric philosophers, speculators, and engaged in fruitive activities. So if we fall into these categories, then it's very difficult to get the association of the Lord. Otherwise, the association of the Lord is a very simple process. We have the opportunity every day. We have deities in our home. We have our japa beads. We have Prabhupada's books. We have the association of devotees. All of these things together constitute association. And this association is what keeps us strongly on the path of devotional service. We cannot make that attempt at purifying ourselves in devotional service without association. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, we think we can be Krishna conscious outside the association of devotees, it's simply an illusion. Actually, he uses the word hallucination. And some of us being children of the 60s are well aware of what hallucinations are. So simply hallucination can't be done. We have to have that association. So this verse right here indicates that the Lord knows that. He knows what our desire is. So all we have to do is cultivate that desire in our heart. All we have to do is cultivate that desire. And then the Lord, who's situated in our heart, knows that, and he will fulfill that. Very simple. It's an easy equation, you know? There's different mathematical equations. You get 2 plus 2 equals 4. Quite simple. Anybody can get it. Then you get 3 over 4 to the 10th power times n multiplied by x. What? I don't know. Can't even go there. So this is a very simple process. Very easy. Kevala anandakanda. Very easily and joyfully performed. So all we have to do is desire that association. Now another very key point here that this verse deals with, and it's a significant point in Krishna's pastimes, is that being his eternal associate, well, they're just that. They're his eternal associates. And they eternally associate with the Lord through various different incarnations, through various different pastimes. Sometimes the word is used, the transcendental roadshow. You know, the group of devotees, the group of personalities that travel with Krishna to his different incarnations, to his different manifestations. Now, in regards to Gaura Lila, this information is explained in great detail to us by two very, very important acharyas. The first, of course, being Kavi Karnapur, the illustrious son of Shivananda Sen, also known by the name Puridas. And he has written one book, Gaura Gonadesha Deepika. Oh, something wrong with the volume? Close enough? Right there, is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. So I should repeat everything I've already said? No. Couldn't if I wanted to. I'd appreciate it. So he's written one book, Gaura Gona Desha Deepika. And then secondly, we have the Gaura Gana Swarupa Tattva Chandrika by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. These two books, they identify everyone from Krishna Leela and who they are in Gaura Leela. And then in Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's book, he does a table at the back where he identifies by Gaura Leela who they were in Krishna Leela. And then a further table where he identifies the personality and then coordinates whether he and Kavi Karnapur agree or not, which is a very interesting read as well. So these two give us understanding of the clear line of connection between Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela, and the persons who migrate from one set of pastimes to the other. And today we celebrate such a personality, and that is the disappearance of Narahari Sakar Thakur. Narahari Sakar Thakur, his connection to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very deep and very lengthy. He was born in the village of Srikhanda. Srikhanda is one of those hotbeds of devotees. Krishnadas Kaviraj describes the residents of Srikhanda themselves, the residents of the town, how they formed an entire branch of the tree of love of God of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just imagine that all the residents collectively of this one particular place or branch on the tree of devotional service of Mahaprabhu. Now, some of the other residents we find that lived there during Lord Chaitanya's time, we have Sri Mukunda, Sri Raghunandana, Sri Chiranjeev, Sri Sulochan, Sri Damodar Kaviraj, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Govinda Kaviraj, Sri Balaram Das, Ratikanta, Ram Gopal, Pitambar, and Sachinandana, and Sri Jagadananda. These are all prominent names which we find throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, some of them more familiar to us than others. And Kaviraj Goswami mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that these are all personalities who generally distributed that fruit of love of God from the branch upon which they were. Now, Narahari Sakar's family itself, they were the pride of the Vaishnavas. I mean, that's really quite a statement, you know. Vaishnavas love and respect everyone. But this particular family, oh, they were the pride, oh, that, oh, Narahari Sakar's family, oh, they're such wonderful devotees. So by their influence, it's said, all the people of Srikhanda became Vaishnavas. So this is a significant thing. In a town such as Srikhanda, where everybody's a devotee, they trace it back to the influence of this particular family. And because of this, this place is a vibrant and was and still is a vibrant preaching center for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami mentions Sri Kandavasi, the residents of Kanda, Mukunda and his son Raghunandana, they were the 39th branch of the tree. Narahari was the 40th, Chiranjeev the 41st, Sulochan the 42nd. They were all big branches of the merciful tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all distributed the fruits and flowers of love of Godhead anywhere and everywhere they went. Such a wonderful description of a Vaishnava. You know, we use this word, oh, big leaders, you know, the big guns are here. Sometimes at, work, you get guys going around and you can tell, oh, these are the big shots. Who are the big shots in today? So this is a term of respect. But here we see that these devotees are considered to be big branches on the tree of Lord Chaitanya. So this is very significant. And what do those big branches do? They sit and eat a lot of maha and get garlands given to them all the time? No, no, no. They're distributing all the fruits and flowers. This is the important thing, that a devotee distributes that love of Godhead which they give. As Prabhupada said, I just request that you share what I've given to you. So in this way, the residents of Srikhanda themselves, along with these prominent devotees mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, are very significant. Now, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, he once stated, Navadvip, this is the abode of Goloka. Vrindavan is the abode of Gokula. And Srikhanda is the abode of Vaikuntha. So here again, very, very important place in the overall view of the Lord's pastimes. Now, Narhari Sakar Thakur was born in the end of the 1470s, 1479, 1480, the beginning like that. And his father's name was Sri Narayana Das. And his mother's name was Sri Goyi. Now, Sri Goyi was the daughter of Murari Sen. Murari Sen was another one of those prominent devotees in Srikhanda. And Narayana Das and Sri Goyi, they had three sons, Mukunda, Madhava, and Narhari. Now, these three names are probably quite familiar to us, particularly Mukunda. His son was Raghunandana. And of course, you know, we very easily remember the story of Raghunandana making the offering on behalf of his father and the deity eating the entire offering. Those of us that engage in deity service, either in our home or here, we put the offering on the altar, we dutifully say our prayers, recite our Gayatri, ring the bell, and then we take the offering, which to our eyes is untouched, and take it back to the kitchen and then distribute it. Raghunandana, the son of Mukunda, the son of Narayana, the brother of Narhari, he made the offering, and the Lord ate everything, the entire offering. The plate was empty. When Mukunda came home, he said to his son, so where's the mapasadam? Time for me to take my lunch? Oh, I fed the Lord, he ate it. No, I understand the Lord ate it. Yes, he eats everything. We're off him, sure, but where's the mapasadam? No. So at any rate, so this is the family line that is connected with Narahari, you know. And this is one of the reasons that contributed to there being the pride of the Vaishnavas. Now, after the death of Narayan, Narahari's father, the older brother Mukunda arranged for Narahari to go and study in Navadvip. You'll remember at this time, Navadvip was the seat of studious pursuit, academic pursuit of development of knowledge. All the pandas, all the learned personalities from all schools of thought, they all resided in Navadvip. So while there, Narahari very, very quickly learned all the different forms of education, and he additionally developed a great knowledge and interest and perfection of music and dance, as well as being a connoisseur of the devotional flavors of these forms of art. So not only was he a scholar by terms of academic study, but he was perfected in music and dance and the devotional side of it. This is very, very wonderful to develop, and we see that in many of our modern-day devotees, you know, great musicians, but not just for the sake of being musicians, for the sake of developing the devotional side of that. To the point that even before Narahari met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had written many Sanskrit and Bengali songs glorifying the Braja Ras of Radha Giridhari. So he had understood this importance, and even before Mahaprabhu's time was in this direction, this mood. Now, it mentions that Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was constantly in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that one of his closest associates was Narahari Sakar. In the Chaitanya Mangala, we find it stated that Narahari and Gadadhar were extremely dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, just think of that. You're described as being extremely dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have some of our god brothers that we know were extremely dear to Srila Prabhupada, and we're always so blessed and fortunate to be in their company and hear from them the pastimes with Prabhupada. What to speak of if Mahaprabhu himself considers you to be extremely dear? Of course, to the point to where they had personal service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about this in his Gaur Arti song, you know, Narahari Adi Kori Shamara Dulaya. He's the one fanning Mahaprabhu during the Mahaprakash Lila with the Chamara fan. Narahari was able, by dint of his devotional practices, to understand many of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Bhakti Ratnakar mentions that his glories are unlimited, and his understanding of the inner thinking, the inner mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite vast. Now, it's interesting to note, I started this off by mentioning the connections that we get from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Kavi Karnapur's books on the identity of these personalities. We know from these two books that in Braj Leela, Narhari Chakravarti was known as Madhumati. And the particular service identity of Madhumati, she's a very intimate girlfriend of Radharani. And as the name Madhu would indicate, very expert in the arts of honey. Not just having honey and selling honey and drinking honey, but knowing how to mix honey, everything related to honey. This is told in the Gauravana Desha Deepika particularly. And some of the intimate associates of Mahaprabhu, particularly Sri Nityananda, they understood this mood. And one day when Nityananda arrived, of course, many times when Nityananda would arrive at a place, he would arrive in full Avadhuta mode. Sometimes he would arrive at Vishnupriya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's home with Sachimata. As Chaitanya Bhagavat says, dressed in nothing but the four winds and a fabulous turban. The four winds and a fabulous turban. We don't want to see that here, thank you. So the fabulous turbans, I mean, we've seen some pretty fabulous turbans, but Nityananda had. So at any rate, sometimes Nityananda would appear in these very interesting ways. So he appeared in Srikanda one time and approached Narhari. He said, all right, we know who you are. We know exactly what you do. So tell me, where is the honey Madhumati? So, of course, you know, in Krishna Leela, supplying the honey to the personal service of Radha Govinda was the service of Madhumati's. Honey has many different uses, used during abhishekas. If it's cured a little bit, it's a quite wonderful drink. Generally, on Balaram's appearance day, we make Varuni juice. I remember one time in Dallas, and oh, this would have been 78, maybe 79. I made up a Varuni mix. It was 3 gallons of pureed fresh peaches, 2 gallons of whey, and 5 gallons of honey, all mixed together. Pretty powerful stuff. So at any rate, this is the service that this Madhumati performed during Krishna Leela for Radha Giridhari. And so when requested in this way by Nityananda, of course one has to act. You know, Nityananda asks something of you, it's not, oh, well, you know, sure, yeah, okay. No, you have to. So immediately, Narhari Sakura took a clay pot and went to the nearby kund and filled it with water from that kund. And when he filled it with water, immediately that pot of water turned into the most nectarine, most amazing honey that one can imagine. Just incredible honey. And all the associates, Narhari then brought this back and gave it to Nityananda, and Nityananda immediately distributed it to his associates, who, as we all know, headed by the Dodasa Gopals, the 12 cowherd associates, are all in a mood of cowherd boy fun. We visited a place, this Kartik, first time I had been there, called Chumdok. And this is a place where so many absolutely amazing cowherd boy pastimes take place. Many of the places you visit in Braj, there's Radha Krishna Leela. This is particularly cowherd boy Leela. And very fun place. Big kund there. And, you know, at any rate, so all these associates of Nityananda, they're in this kind of a mood. So you give them a bunch of honey and the mood even becomes more fun. So at any rate, this pond where the water, which was drawn, was from that point forward named Madhu Pushkarini, the lake of honey. And we have in some other scriptures where their incarnation of the Lord's mercy changes water into wine, or was it wine into water? I forget how it goes, something like that. At any rate, the activity is not as amazing when we look at this situation here where water becomes honey. So at any rate, this is the relationship that Nityananda had with this Narhari Sakur. One other time, the Lord appeared to Narhari, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and ordered him in a dream to install three sets of deities of himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these deities are still currently worshipped, and they exist in Sri Kanda, Katwa, and Ganga Nagara. So if you go to any of those three places, you can see these deities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu installed by Narhari Sakur. Excuse me. Once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into his sannyas lila and relocated to Jagannath Puri primarily for the satisfaction of his mother, he had several associates that came with him. Of course, one of those was Narhari Sakur Thakur. And Narhari participated in all these activities of the Lord there in Puri. Some of them were done a little later. Some of those devotees went right away. As we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shivananda Sen would arrange for taking all these devotees, everywhere that they went, you know, on this journey from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. So Mahaprabhu at this time was just returning from his tour of South India, where he had had that misfortune with Kala Krishna. Sometimes devotees see things happen in this kind of, they get, oh, you know, this is horrible. How could this happen? Just read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. All of this stuff's gone on before. You know, there's nothing new. So at any rate, Mahaprabhu wanted nothing more to do with Kala Krishna, but Nityananda had mercy on Kala Krishna and said, well, why not send him back to Bengal? Let him share the experiences that he observed with you in South India with the devotees in Bengal. So everyone in Bengal was very happy to receive him, and he was given some service, even though he had had a very unfortunate circumstance. Those devotees that would sometimes go back and forth regularly were Mukunda, Narhari, and Raghunandana. And when they would go to Puri, they would often stay at the home of Advaitacharya. This is another interesting thing we find. There were several devotees in Chaitanya Lila that had multiple homes. A home in Shantipur. Advaitacharya had a home in Shantipur. He had a home in Navadvip, and he had a home in Puri. We don't see that he was engaged in much very serious business, but somehow, same with Shivananda Sen, you know, two or three homes. And these devotees were all taking 6 months of the year vacation. They were only working for 6 months out of the year doing whatever it is that they did. The rest of the time, a month traveling to Puri, 4 months in Puri, and then a month traveling back. So pretty amazing if you become an intimate associate of the Lord. So after Lord Jagannath Snanyatra, of course, Jagannath is unavailable for darshan at this time, and Mahaprabhu would go to the Alarnath temple to try and get relief from these feelings of separation. And during that time, Narhari was one of the devotees that would accompany Mahaprabhu in this way. Now, after this period of time, when Jagannath comes back out, is of course the Rath Yatra. And during the Rath Yatra, we find that there were seven specific kirtan groups that were formed for the purpose of doing kirtan for Jagannath. And this is, I wonder if I printed that. No, I didn't bring that, I can't believe it. At any rate, I did some research and broke down all these different kirtan groups and who was singing, who was leading, and you know, like that. One of the kirtan groups was made up of all the devotees of Sri Kanda. This was the Sri Kanda kirtan group, and this was the Ambika Kalna kirtan group, and like that, you know. So Narhari was deeply involved in these pastimes as well during the Rath Yatra. Now, when the Lord gave all the devotees different directions for doing their particular services, he gave a very specific direction to Narhari, and that was to remain in the association of devotees. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. Now, this instruction is something that we can all very easily embrace because, as I mentioned earlier, that the opportunity to engage in devotional service, to stay steady in devotional service, or at least to stay present in devotional service, is only by the association of devotees. So Narhari received this very specific instruction, and you just remain with the devotees. What a wonderful instruction to receive. You just remain with the devotees. Don't go outside. Prabhupada sometimes says in earlier classes, he said, you know, devotees, sometimes they become upset being in our ISKCON society and they want to go away. But they cannot go away. They cannot leave the association of devotees. They end up coming back. So in this way, we see that this association is such an important thing that it was a specific instruction from Mahaprabhu. Now, one very prominent author of Chaitanya Lila, Lochan Das Thakur, who wrote Sri Chaitanya Mangala, he was one of the prominent disciples of Narhari Sakar Thakur. And he was instructed by and received the mercy of Narhari to write this book, Chaitanya Mangala. Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagavata, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you read these three books and add to it Bhakti Ratnakara, you'll understand all of Gaura Lila. All the associates of Gaura Lila, all the personalities involved, everything that they did, you'll know all of this by reading these four books. When Lochan Das Thakur is writing Chaitanya Mangala, he opens it with the following mangala, our glorification of his spiritual master. My Thakur is Sri Narhari Das Thakur, who is very influential amongst the Vaishnavas. He is continuously absorbed in Krishna Prema. And in fact, his body knows nothing but Krishna. To his followers, he speaks about nothing other than love of Krishna. He was previously known in Vrindavan Leela as Madhumati and as a storehouse of sweetness, honey, and very dear to Srimati Radharani. Now he is present in the Kali Yuga, associated with Sri Gaurasundar as Sri Narahari. He is the keeper of the storehouse of love for Radha and Krishna. And as I mentioned earlier, Narahari was expert in the arts of being a singer and writing his own songs, poetry, and then putting them to music and quite often orchestrating dances for those songs. So he composed many, many songs in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. These are included in a book called Krishna Bhajanamrita. And in this particular book, Narahari teaches how to properly worship the Guru, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and ultimately Sri Krishna. So this is another one of those books that if it's found, one can read that and study and understand some of these instructions from Narahari. Most of his songs deal with the pangs of separation. Separation from Mahaprabhu, separation in the service of Radha and Krishna. And this type of a mood is really the pivotal foundation of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Now, an interesting thing about Narahari, he was the only one who was given the adhikari, or the right, to do Gaura Kirtan in front of Gaura. We all know that when Mahaprabhu would hear devotees glorify him as the Supreme Lord or give some praise, he would cover his ears, Vishnu, 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 no, this isn't me. But, and of course, this is because he's a covered incarnation to Yuga Avatar, that he's only visible as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in three incarnations, three yugas. But in this Kali Yuga, he comes in a covered incarnation to show how a devotee engages. So, of course, a devotee doesn't want to be directly called the Supreme Lord, so he would never accept that. But Narahari enjoyed the special privilege sanctioned by Mahaprabhu to sing about Mahaprabhu in this very unique mood with all four different types of sweet descriptions of his transcendental beauty and identity as the Personality of Godhead with no objection from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How special is that? Nobody else gets to do this. No, you can't. No, I don't want to hear your glory. No, that's not who I am. Oh, okay, yeah, you can do that. That's pretty amazing. So now we do find, though, that Narahari Sakar is not without some bit of confusion. There's Narahari Sakar, and then there's Narahari Chakravarti Thakur. And both of them wrote many, many, many songs. And they both finish most of their songs, thus speaks Narhari. Thus Narhari offers these prayers. You know, in this way, just with the generic reference in our so it's not always very clear which songs are written by Narhari Chakravarti and which songs are written by Narhari Shakar. But some have been uniquely identified like that. And Bhakti Ratnakara is a good source for helping to understand that. there are some additional works, writings that Narhari produced, very, very important books. Bhakti Chandrika Patal, it's a manual on Vaishnava behavior. Interesting. Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita, as I mentioned, discusses Guru Tattva and how to worship Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Sahasranam, the 1,000 names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should do that on Gopurnima Homa one day. Sri Sachinandana Astakam, 8 prayers glorifying the son of Sachimata. Sri Radha Sahasranam, the 1,000 names of Srimati Radharani. So this is just a small number of the books that he's written. Now, in one song that he's written, it's very interesting to look at this song, the translation I'll read here. If Gora came back to Nadia town, this is, of course, referring to the separation of Lord Chaitanya being in Puri. If Gora came back to Nadia town, my mind would be filled with joy. Then I would see him, the source of all joy, while he performed his Sankirtan pastimes. Oh, Hari, oh, Hari. When will I again gaze upon that moon-like face? When will that day come when the dam holding back the ocean of separation in my heart breaks wide open? When will I see the golden form of the Lord wrapped in his Yajna Sutra? Lifting my arms into the air, I will shout, "Oh Hari, oh Hari," and dance in the midst of all the devotees in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. Saying such things, many of Lord Gora's devotees close their eyes and merge into their love of separation for him. When will Narahari's desires be fulfilled? When will Narahari gaze upon the form of the young Gora? So, you know, these types of prayers, just this particular one just gives us a little glimpse into the mood of separation that was prominent throughout much of his presentation and song. He lived for about only 50, 60 years. It's not exactly clear, but in that period there, in his mid-50s. And interestingly enough, but at his at the celebration honoring his departure, the officiating priest was Srinivasacharya. And we know from other writings that Srinivasacharya was expert at doing different types of pujas and samskaras and things of this nature. He oversaw the installation of the deities at Narottam's festival in Kitturi. And also present at that ceremony was Virachandra Goswami, the son of Nityananda. And they had all gone to Srikanta to celebrate this great festival and the disappearance of Narahari, and a huge feast, it mentions, was prepared. And this feast is described in detail in the Bhakti Ratnakara. The residents, after the ceremony was completed, many of the residents in a mood of mournful separation began to depart. And the residents in mass of Srikanda, they called them, "Oh, brothers, brothers, do not leave yet, do not leave. An ocean of prema will flood over Srikanda over the next few days. We will have a wonderful festival for Narahari's disappearance, and there will be a wonderful feast held, so please wait." So they encouraged them to, you know, sometimes at a, shall we say, a funeral, you know, the people come and then they just immediately leave, you know, to go about their own particular mood of mourning. But here the residents are encouraging all these Vaishnavas that were there should stay. We're going to have many days of festival honoring Narahari Sakur, so don't go anywhere. Time is going to manifest in a very wonderful way here. So these are some of the pastimes of Sri Narahari Thakur, and it helps us appreciate how, as this verse describes today, that the Lord's associates are with him through all the different incarnations because the Lord is situated within their heart. And the Lord knows their mind and knows their desire to have his association. So this verse, what to speak of the pastimes of Narhari, can be an impetus to us to purify and focus our desire for being able to associate with the Lord, to purify and focus our desire to have that which is present in our heart and mind, something that the Lord would be very pleased to look upon. As I mentioned at the beginning, sometimes that may not be the case, but our goal is to purify ourselves of those anarthas, those unwanted things, so that the Lord sees those desires. Yes, I'm very happy to fulfill them. There's a story told about doing parikrama around Govardhan Hill, that when many people do different types of seva to Govardhan, some do just walking parikrama, some do dandabats, and not all of them have the same desire. Many times, you'll see a husband and wife doing dandabats of Govardhan for the purpose of being able to get a son, or daughter, a child. Sometimes you'll see students doing parikrama of Govardhan for the purpose of being able to get good grades on their upcoming scores. I remember one year we were there and we saw those boys. There was this group of teenage boys that were being every bit the group of teenage boys you would expect teenage boys to be, going around Govardhan. And Madhumati and Sesh and myself were doing parikrama, and we engaged in some conversation with them. And they had taken the day off school in mass to come and do parikrama of Govardhan. Now, most of the kids cutting classes at Santa Fe aren't cutting classes to be able to do parikrama of Govardhan Hill. So at any rate, there were students from Mathura. Yeah, we cut classes for the day. We came here to do parikrama of Govardhan Hill. Very nice. So at any rate, Govardhan, when someone does this service, Govardhan follows along behind them and listens to their desire. And if it's these lust and pure desires, his mood is, yes, you take it. Now, this is very significant, this motion of the hand. Yeah, you take it. Yeah, go ahead. This is dismissive. Yeah, you can have it. Not a big deal. Go ahead. But when the devotee does their seva of Govardhan, the devotee's heart is filled with the desire to want to increase their service, to want to serve Giriraj, to want to purify themselves, to want to become more fixed in their devotional service. And Govardhan's mood is, yes, you may have. So this mood of raising the palm, extending, as we see our Sri Radhika here, she's giving her blessings. Yes, you may have blessings. There's a wonderful set of Gornatai deities on the main parikram path, just near Krishna Balaram Mandir. I've been having darshan them since the early 70s. And they're right on the road. I mean, the temple entrance is right at the curb, practically, and the front wall is just an iron fence with glass doors. You can see directly to the deities, just like the distance from here to Srila Prabhupada. And these deities are going to tie, they have their hands like this. So not only are they in a merciful stance, please take my mercy, but it's whoever you are walking by, please take my mercy. Please, here it is. So at any rate, Govardhan gives that blessing to the devotees. So we want to be attentive to what is the desire in our heart, so that when the time comes, the Lord will be very happy to fulfill that desire and give us the association of devotees. So we'll finish there for today. This wonderful verse on Srimad Bhagavatam, the instructions involving Uddhava and the pastimes of Narhari Sakura Thakura. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.